So I would like for you to put the scripture on the screen. Thank you. And let's read the scripture together. Many of us are familiar with this. This is what Kelly spoke of, the vine and the branches. So I think it would be great if we all shared that together. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Thanks for being the people of God that read the scripture.
I wonder if you'd bow your heads and pray for me and with me. Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts would be acceptable to you, and I pray for that that moment or those moments that happen when after the study is done and after the sermon has been crafted and after the people have come, then we offer the time to your Holy Spirit and you speak to us in the ways that you desire. And if these words can be a part of that, I will be ever grateful. But I know the people of God come expectant, hoping to hear from you this day. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Think about your life for a moment. Think about your life and think about what you want to be. Being is an important part of living. And most of us have a list of things we'd like to be more of or less of. I'd like to be more, what? Anybody have one? Patient. Kind. Yeah, this more of. I'd like to be more of that. Now, in the Christian context, we're trying to be more of what Jesus was like. And when we read the text this morning and he says, you know, remain in my love. And if you remain in my love, I remain in the Father's love. And, you know, he just helps us understand that that's the connection. And there are things we'd like to be less of. We'd like to be less, impatient. We'd like to be less angry. We'd like to be less, everybody's got something. Do you have things you'd like to be less of? Anybody? Yeah. Most of us can get to that pretty fast, right? So things more, things about being. And then now think about doing. Doing. There are things you'd like to do in your life. And I don't mean like your bucket list. I don't mean, you know, riding in a hot air balloon in New Mexico. That's not what I'm thinking of here. That's a grand thing, but that's not what I'm thinking of. I'm thinking things you'd like to do, and that usually has to do with the people that you would like to bless. So the people right around you, perhaps in your family, or your close friends. We just had a baptism, right? Two parents, little boy, baby. These parents, Jackie and Mike, I bet have things they want to do to bless their child. I bet you all have things. And those things don't just extend to our family and our friends. They extend to our community. Wow, I'd like to do something good in my community or to the world. We'd like our life to have a reach that extends to other people, being and doing. Think about that for just a moment. What would you like to be and what would you like to do? And then look again at the words we just read together, but verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear what? Much fruit. And much fruit is the being and the doing. It's who I became because I knew Jesus, and it's what I did because I knew Christ. But Jesus says, apart from me, apart from him, most of what you want to be and most of what you hope to do probably won't happen, especially the being. Doing is a little bit easier than being, because doing, we can pull off one event at a time, and usually I can gear up myself to be a pretty decent person for a limited period of time. Amen? Right, I bet you can too, right? You can be a pretty decent person for a limited period of time pretty well. Like, hey, get your act together. We're going to go to this event, and you're going to put a smile on your face, and we're going to, right? You can do that. Yeah, right? We can all do that. But being consistently kind, being consistently joyful, being consistently loving, doing things that we hope to do, Jesus says that's going to require you to be connected. I am the vine, you are the branches. Now, if we read the larger text here, as you did just a little while ago, Jesus says, and God is the gardener. Now, this is all good news, because there's an intimacy in this statement that God is attending to us, that God cares for us, and that God wants us to bear good fruit, which says that God knows you and knows me, and that you're not alone. You're not by yourself. And this image that Jesus gives us of the work of God is good news, because it means there's this intimate connection. And that is in contrast, this thought that God is near us, that God is around us, and that God is working for our good is in contrast to people who believe that God is not near. And there are many people who believe that God is like a cosmic clockmaker. That's the image that's often used for this, that God wound up the universe, turned the key that wound up the universe, and then stepped away from it and said, you're on your own now, figure it out, which is why the world is so chaotic so much of the time, they say, because God is distant, watching us from out there somewhere, ready to judge us, but not to help us. That's one view of God, but it's not Jesus' view of God. Jesus said, no, I'm the vine, you're the branches, God's the gardener. Essentially, we're all in this together so that you can bear, you can be, you can do much fruit. Now, you know, to those who feel that God is distant, I understand that. I think most of us have sometimes had the experience. Most of us who are Christians have probably had that dark night of the soul when we feel God is distant. Part of my work takes me into spaces where people are suffering. And I just have to tell you, when I'm in a space and someone is clearly suffering and somebody who loves the person who's suffering looks at me and says, if God was real, God, this wouldn't be happening, I understand the logic. And I have felt the feeling. I've watched children die. I have been in spaces where human beings suffer great loss. And I never walk away thinking, well, here's the happy bow I can put on that story. So I understand. I'm not saying I have their experience, but when I see suffering, I don't look at it and say, how dare you say God is distant? I actually understand that when they say God is distant, it's a way of protecting themselves. It's a way of making sense out of it. Because what kind of God, if it was close, would allow this? You see the problem of suffering? But the question is, if God is near, if we are the vine, and if Jesus is the vine and we are the branches and God is the gardener, then what do we do with our life, in our being, in our doing? And maybe it's that in those moments, God is here and God is working with us to be present with one another, to be in the hard spaces as well as the easy spaces. Pretty easy to be with people in their easy spaces, amen? Right? When it's a birthday party and all is well, pretty easy. Quite another to step into a space where the power of God works through you. You as a friend, you as a family member, you as the neighbor who showed up, you as the member of the community that stepped in to a hard thing because you felt like it was the will of Christ for your life. And yet, what a blessing. What a blessing when people show up because they felt so connected. And we all need to know, we all need to know not only that our friends show up, but that God shows up. And sometimes it comes in the weirdest ways. I had a friend years ago, a friend I went to seminary with, his name is Ken. Ken and his wife Susan got married about the same time Karen and I did. And so Ken and I got to know each other. We both went home for Christmas. We both came back married. A while later, a year and a half later, but they had a daughter. We had a daughter. And that was sort of a thing that none of us were expecting. And so it was even more joyful because we were like, wow, we're going to be parents now. You know, this is really, we're really doing this. And so it was really fun. And so we got, these two couples got to know each other. And then they went to South Carolina. We came to Virginia, but we kept in touch over the years. We didn't call often, but we were connected, you know, because when you have those experiences, you're connected for a long time. And we would check in. They came to visit us one time and so on and so forth. Years and years went past. I mean, decades went past, and then I got a call one morning on a Monday from Ken. And I said, 30 in the morning, I said, Ken, what are you doing calling me? He said, I got up this morning and realized I never called you over the weekend. Susan died, Tom. I'm going to my wife's funeral today. Well, we knew years ago, we knew that Susan had a heart defect. And she had had surgery, so everybody thought it was going to be okay, but then it wasn't okay. And so in the months thereafter, I would call Ken on occasion, just say, how are you doing? And we'd check in, and he was doing about as well as anybody does when they lose somebody that dear to them. Then he called me one morning. He said, hey, you won't believe this. I got a story to tell you. I said, what story? He goes, worst part of this whole year has been my first anniversary without Susan. He said, because I just decided that on that anniversary, which was months after her death, he said, I decided I was going to take my wedding ring off. He said, I decided to take my wedding ring off because I was finding it so painful to put it on every day, because every day when I put it on, I didn't remember our life together. I remembered her death. And I just decided I'm going to take it off today. Today's that day. And he said, what I wished is that I had the ring when I graduated from Emory. Remember when we went to Candler? We were there at Emory. And he said, Susan's parents bought me a class ring for my graduate degree, and I wanted to put that on my finger. But he said, Tom, I lost it 2 years ago. So he said, when the day came, the anniversary came, I took the ring off. I didn't have the other ring to put on. And he goes, about every day since, I thought, I can't believe I lost that ring. It's funny what you think of, right? He said, yesterday I got a phone call. I got a phone call from a Baptist pastor in Spartanburg, South Carolina, that I met years ago when Susan and I lived in Spartanburg, a couple of years back. And he said, these are acquaintances. Susan's parents introduced us. We knew each other. It was very nice. He said, I get a call from this guy. He said, you won't believe this. My wife went down to the Salvation Army over the weekend to buy some pants to cut off. She brings these pants back, and they've got your name sewn in them. He said, that's Ken Owens. I know Ken Owens. He said, we look in the pocket. There's a ring. It's from Emory University, and I think it's got your initials inside. Does any of this ring a bell? And he said, yeah, that's my ring. Now, I don't know. I mean it. I don't know. I'm not the kind of person that jumps in and says the Lord did this and the Lord did. I don't know. But here's what I do know. In that moment when the ring arrived in the mail, my friend believed God is near. His eye is on the sparrow, says the old song. And I know he's watching me. That's either true or it isn't. But if you want to be different than you are today, if you want to do things that you don't think you can do on your own, it must be true. It simply must be true that God is with us, the gardener, tending, pruning, caring for the vine and the branches. Now, that's all good news. Would you agree? I mean, if that's true, that's good news. Amen? That's good news. And then Jesus comes along with the bad news. Which, you know, and Jesus is like that. He's always like, you're with him. You're thinking, yeah, go, Jesus. Talk more about that. And he's like, but there's this other thing. So look at this verse. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He, look at this. He what? He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. So that, I know you were thinking, he forgot he's in that sermon series on big little words. So if you haven't been here, we've been doing this sermon series on big little words, like and, but, usually conjunctions. But so that, this is another example, so that, these are big little words. You see, if you read this text, this is nothing but bad news if you miss these two little words. While every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. So that you at home, same thing. You have to say this out loud when I dramatically pause. So that it will be what? Even more fruitful. Even more fruitful. So my point is, what I think Jesus is saying is that God doesn't want you just to be a little different or do a few good things. God actually wants you to be someone through whom the love of God flows, you as a conduit, bearing much fruit, doing things that matter in the world, matter to other people and matter to God. That's what the Lord's desire is, being and doing. But I don't know about you, I've never been comfortable with pruning. I certainly don't like it when the Lord does it to me. But in general, I'm not that comfortable because when you prune things, even if I'm out in my yard, when you prune things, I'm always worried. Am I going to damage it? Am I going to hurt it? Is it going to ruin something that would have been better if I wouldn't have pruned it? Do you ever feel that way? That's the nature of pruning. But my brother is a landscape architect. And let me tell you, my brother has no problem pruning. No problem. I mean, working with him, he is a terror when he works. I mean, he can work me into the ground. And we were at my parents' house years ago, and this is when they were in the house that we grew up in. There's some really large yews in the front of that home, not the lambs, but the bushes. And the yews had grown up, as those things tend to do, and those bushes are thick. And so my brother looked at me in the morning. He said, hey, today's the day we're going to deal with these yews. And I said, okay, all right. And I was hauling branches. I mean, he was cutting. I was hauling out to the backyard trying to figure out what to do with all this stuff. And I came around. And every time I came around, there was more gone. I mean, it was just, and finally I said, I don't know what these bushes did to you, but are you going to stop punishing them at some point for this? And he said, what are you talking about? I said, well, you're just cutting them really low. And he looks at me and goes, do I tell you how to preach? Do I do that? Do I stand up on a Sunday and say, hey, Tom, do this a little different? Do I do that? He said, no, I don't do that. So he said, when I'm doing my thing, you just haul the branches. And I said, but what are you doing? He said, look, Tom, some of this is diseased and it's going to be dead next year. I can see it and you can't. Some of this is already dead and some of this is just flat overgrown and doesn't look good anymore. He said, I'm going to trim this so that next year it's going to be better than it's been 4 years. And he said, it looks like you're killing it. He just said, just haul the branches. My brother has a very high patience level, especially with his younger brother. And so I did. And he was right. But one of the things he said to me was this. At the end of all that, he said, hey, Tom, here's something to remember. What you don't prune, you don't own. What you don't prune, you don't own. And for some reason, when he said that to me, it stuck. What you don't prune, you don't own. Now, he was telling me that a prune shrub was actually a healthy shrub, that a prune shrub was a beautiful shrub, but pruning can be so very painful. And it certainly is when it happens to me, and I bet to you too. Because when God takes out the dead wood in our lives, the diseased areas in our lives, in the places where we are just overgrown and shabby, I don't usually experience that as a joyful moment in my life. Here's the weird thing I realized. I want to change, but I don't want to change. Does that make sense? Let me say it a different way. I want to get better, but I don't want to change. How about you? I mean, I want to be a better person. I want to be more loving. I want to be more generous. I want to be more patient, but I don't want to change. And so I put the Lord in the situation where I say, hey, Lord, help me. Help me to be. And I want to do. I want to do things. I want to do this. I want to do that because I can see clearly it's the will of God's Spirit. I can see clearly this is what I should be doing. But I don't want to reprioritize. So I want to do, but I don't want to change. And you see the problem. And so my brother, he's a pruner, and I think God's like him. Maybe better stated, he's like the Lord in this. We might want to, I hope he's not watching live stream. That last line just kind of came out of my mouth and it was bad in so many ways. But I think God prunes things out of our lives. And I think when God does it, life's never the same for us. And so God prunes debilitating personal baggage and makes us finally deal with it. Makes us finally deal with stuff that's been in our lives since we were sometimes children. And we finally do the work and we finally have the conversations. And it doesn't mean that we reject every relationship from that time of our life. It just means there's some conversations we've got to have and deal with. I think God prunes out of our lives sometimes things to which we're too attached. There are things to which we are simply too attached. And they may be habits. They may be physical items. They may be whatever habits. God says, you know what? That's got to go. I think sometimes God prunes relationships, not as many Christians do. Many people, when they become Christians, get rid of all of their non-Christian friends. Well, what kind of a life is that? I mean, if you don't have some people in your life that don't know the Lord, you're probably not even that interesting, right? Because really, people that don't know the Lord, they are interesting. They are not predictable. You don't know what's coming from them next, right? So you don't want to prune the people, but you do need to prune the influence they have. So what often happens when we come to know Christ, we often want to become influencers rather than being influenced. Pruning. Well, it could be meaningless pursuits. It could be boundaries that God establishes and activities God pushes out, whatever it is. When we experience God's pruning in our lives, isn't it the case that when God prunes us, I don't know about you, but I always feel like, God, you are picking on me. You're doing something bad here. And the Lord says, you know what, Tom? What you don't prune, you don't own. Because here's something I did many years ago, and the question is, have you done this? Many years ago, I stood at a place just like this, and I took vows, and I said, Lord, my life is yours. And I have done that over the course of my years of my life. I've done that multiple times in multiple ways. And I've said, Lord, my life is yours. I gave God ownership, which means I'm like a bush in my brother's yard that every day ought to get up and just watch out to see what's going to happen next. Because there's this master gardener who knows exactly what to do when something is diseased, when something is dead, and when something is just shabby in my life. But if you experience pruning as God being mean to you, as other people persecuting you, you know what it really means? It means that you believe that your life is your own, and you're saying, Lord, change me, but don't make me change. There's just no way to do it. And so it's not that this is such a dramatically insightful text that Jesus gives us. It's that we can hear these big little words in this, look at this one phrase, every branch that doesn't bear fruit, he prunes so that you all at home, let's say that again, every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be what? Even more fruitful, because the Lord wants you to be the things that the Lord's calling you to be. The Lord wants you to do the fabulous things that you have in mind. But there's no way you'll ever do those great things unless you conform your life to be and do those things. And I don't know about you, but sometimes for me, I want the intimacy, but I don't want the change. And that's the big problem. God wants to get the ugly stuff out. God wants to get the dead stuff out. God wants to get the disease stuff out. For our own good, God must prune us, because every branch that he prunes that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it'll be even more fruitful. So here's what I want you to think about. And I'm going to give you an opportunity in just a moment. So think about these two things. What would it mean for you to bear fruit in your life? Okay? Think about the being and think about the doing. What's the calling? And I think when I pause, I think the Holy Spirit's got the power, because I prayed for this at the beginning, I think the Holy Spirit's got the power to speak into your life in ways that I can't. I don't know you. I don't know what's going on. I'm the guy that hauls the branches, not the guy that does the cutting. Amen? So I don't know the right thing to do, but I think the Holy Spirit has the ability to say to you in this moment, here's the thing he's talking about. What's the thing that if you could change in one way, and you could be a different way, or you could do something that would really matter, what's the thing that God's calling you to be or do? Think about it. And the people I feel the worst for right now are the ones who are clearly hearing a word from the Lord. Because I know what it is to pray a prayer and to have the Holy Spirit say, it's this. And the pain it'll cause me to do it. And I've done many of those things. And there's always more fruit on the other side. And there's always the loss of the pruning. Now, what we're going to do is, after I share the benediction, if you're in this room, if you're in the sanctuary, we're going to have three stations, three pastors are going to be here, and we're going to be in our mask, and we're going to ask you just to walk forward if you'd like to pray about whatever God's putting on your heart today. You don't need us. But if you'd like an opportunity to pray, we're going to do that. So we're going to pray for a few minutes. Yeah, you all can come on. But it's going to be after the benediction. Now, if you're online, you may be thinking, oh, I can't do that. Well, there are two ways that you can participate. The first is, there's a way to submit prayer requests. It's a link that's coming up in the chat box about now. And on that link, if you submit to that link in the chat box, you will send that to our prayer team, and there are about 40 people in our church that'll pray for you. And you can make that as anonymous or as public as you would like. Now, the second way that you can participate online is, there's a button at the bottom of the worship page, and it says live prayer. And if you click there, you'll go into a room, and there will be someone and friends, I think this is just the most amazing thing. Someone will pray with you online, and they will do it through a keyboard. But you can say to them, here's what I want you to pray for. But when you do that, you're going to be in a queue. You're going to be in a line, and when they finish with this person, then you'll come in. So it may take a few moments, and so God will help you learn. If you prayed, I want to be more patient, this is going to be your first opportunity. So we celebrate that. But there are two ways to do it. And then after the benediction, those of you who'd like somebody to pray for you, you don't have to. But it's been so long since we've been able to connect that today might be a day that would be a blessing to you. And if it is, what's the thing you want to be? You're going to wait your whole life? You're going to wait your whole life and never be the thing that God would have made you had you just let the pruning happen? What do you want to do that you know the Lord's calling you to do? Amen.